Welcome to Gatekeepers Global Podcast. I'm Seer Evangelist Linda Casares, and I'm honored and blessed tonight to bring to you my spiritual son, who is highly anointed, at least I think so, and everybody that I know that knows him and has heard him minister says the same thing. I want to give a shout out, first of all, to all the people around the world, to all the nations, which are 70-some nations that stream in on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/gatekeepers-ministry. On demand, you'll see so many of the podcasts for over the years. It's been probably 10 to 12 years now, and I'm honored because this is a platform that glorifies God, that the ministers that are on here and have been on here, from pastors to apostles to bishops, titles ain't no big thing. They're all ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they're all fruitful, anointed, and you would be blessed. Any podcast that you pick. I was just speaking to someone that has joined us in the last two podcasts, and I just want to give her a shout out and thank her again for calling in. All of you that have dialed in, I'm blessed to hear from you, and I'd like to just pray and ask God to bless the podcast as well as you. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come before you, Lord, and we thank you. We give you praise. We lift you up and we honor you. We don't take it lightly, the platform that you've given us tonight. Lord, we are on here tonight just to give you glory, just to lift up your name. Thank you. We humble ourselves tonight, Lord God, and we ask, God, that you would move by your Holy Spirit. Beat back the forces of darkness on our behalf. I dispatch angels throughout the first and second heaven to guard and guide the frequencies of this podcast in the name of Jesus. Lord, that your word would go forth with power. Lord, I know Dr. Patrick Obin is an anointed vessel. And God, I thank you for him, the word that you've placed in him. And God, I thank you for his devotionals. And Lord, I got this topic from one of his devotionals some months ago, and you laid it on my heart, Lord God, that you wanted this to go out into the airwaves to minister to those in other nations and in this nation. I thank you, Lord, for an obedient spirit. I ask, God, that you would bless us tonight, every person that has dialed in. I thank you for giving us your time this evening. This is a holy time. Thank God for this opportunity again to speak the word of God from a pure, clean vessel. That's what we want. And God, that's how we get blessed. We know that your word's going to go forth with power. And I thank you and I give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about your day, but I had a pretty fun day with my fourth graders today. They make my day. Yesterday, they blessed me with so many wonderful Valentine's Day gifts. I said, who needs a man when you have kids that'll flood you with chocolates and cards, and they draw them up and they paint them and all kinds of gifts. Packaged really nice by their parents. So I was just blessed. They just make my day. And if they ever see a frown on my face, they always say, are you okay, Miss Casares? Are you having a better day than yesterday? It's been tough these last few weeks, but God says we are to endure hardship as good soldiers, no matter what it is. No matter what it is, it'll never be as hard as what Jesus went through for us. It'll never be that tough. We'll never be beaten to a pulp with 39 stripes, will never be nailed to the cross as he was. There'll never be a sword pierce us in the side as did him. And we'll never be hung up on a cross naked like he was before the world. So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory for doing that for me. And whoever's listening, just say, he did that for me. That's all the more reason for me to live holy, for me to walk in love and produce fruit. The Lord is watching that our fruit will remain. And he ministers to us daily when we're open to him. So I just give him all the praise, honor, and glory tonight. And I bless God for you joining us. So I'm going to open Patrick's mic right now. Hello, Dr. Patrick. How are you?
Hi, Linda. Always good to hear you, and thanks for inviting me.
Well, I'm excited about this message as much as I'm excited about hearing you, because I know that an anointing comes from that heart and soul, and it just emanates through these airwaves and frequencies. And I got some callers tonight that are really set in place, eagerly to listen to what thus saith the Lord through you, Patrick. And I'm honored. I'm always honored to have this one-on-one with you. I know that you got a house full with the baby girls and the wife, and you take your time out. You're so fruitful in ministry. So I give God all the praise, honor, and glory. You take your time, take as long as you can, and your mic is yours. It's all yours. Amen. God bless you.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, always such a pleasure. Really privileged to be invited, and it's always a joy to share the word of the Lord with your global platform that the Lord is giving you. I remember when it all started.
Yeah.
Put a seed in your heart and look at what the Lord is. What a beautiful, beautiful sight to behold. And this word is certainly I'll be hopping out just before it. Get on our live Bible study. But before then, I believe this is such a powerful, powerful word that wherever you're listening to, I pray that the Lord would open your eyes to take a hold of this thing, just this revelation, this insight. It's flowery. It's not like something hard to understand. I think that the difficulty I will have tonight is really not one of understanding. It's going to be one of you accepting that what I'm telling you is the truth. It's going to be a difficulty of faith, not really understanding. A while ago, the Lord began teaching me about, you know, the damages that religion has done to the Christian mindset. The average Christian has a really hard time believing who God really is and who he or she is. And part of that difficulty is the upbringing that we've had in Christianity, you and me. Christianity has not only, I wrote a devotional recently, I said Christianity in some aspect, right? I'm not talking about false religion. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, you know, the religiosity of Christianity, legalism in Christianity, the religious spirit. All of us, we've been exposed to it. Some of you are still in it. I also have some aspects of it that the Lord is trying to pull me out of. It's just a matter of how much you're still in it. Because all of us, as long as you grew up in a church, a community of believers, there is an aspect of legalism that will be hanging around your life. And the degree of damage that legalism would do for you really depends on, of course, the denomination and the setting. Let me ask you this question. What do you think Satan is most afraid of when it comes to you? Well, most of us are Pentecostals, charismatics, right? We're people of the Spirit. When I say that, you know, you think of you going to the desert to fast like Jesus, right, for 40 days and come back with power, prophecies, and anointings and miracles. Do you think that's what the enemy is most afraid about, you? It was a it was an eye-opening experience to me when the Lord began to show me how the difficulties we're dealing with the challenges of your life, you know, dealing with the enemy and all of that, a lot of those things are clashes with Satan. They are not primarily clashes of power. Satan is not having the victory over us in certain aspects because he is more powerful. I wish I could open the hearts of charismatics, us, right? Pentecostals, spirit-filled people, and pour this into them. That power is not the major issue. It's not the major issue. It's important. Absolutely. Jesus demonstrated that, and I'm going to talk to us about that in a second. Why did Adam and Eve fall in the garden? Did you ever read in the scripture that there was some clash of demonic powers in the Garden of Eden? Did you ever read that? Not even once, right? I'm sure you know that chapter so well. Not even once did you read of a power clash with Satan. Not once. The same thing he did to Eve and Adam in the garden is doing to you and me today. And that is the same thing he did to the last Adam. That is Jesus. When Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights in that wilderness, did you read that Satan came in the form of a red horn monster trying to attack Jesus, and there was power clashes? Jesus, you know, like Hollywood falling. Did you read something like that? In a Pentecostal meeting, that's what we'd imagine, right? That's the mindset we have. Listen to me. Satan is not, that is not his primary concern. The thing is about you, and he knows something about you which you don't. He doesn't want you to know. Do you know what that is? It's for you to know who God is and who you are. I will rephrase what I just told you. It is so powerful in the realm of the Spirit because the weapons of our warfare, they are not about power clashes. Power clashes. One of the most critical things that would determine your happiness in Christianity is the firmness of your foundation of who you are. That is the thing that breeds boldness, because the devil knows something about you and me. He's an angel that is fallen. He sits in the realm of the Spirit. There are many of you, you know, you're walking out there. Your spiritual eyes, you're not very conscious of the realm of the Spirit. You walk around. There is a glow of God's glory around you. The light of God is shining around you. But do you know something? You don't know. And then you see a demon, you run away. And the demon is seeing you with the light. And he laughs and says, she doesn't know who she is. She doesn't know who she is. I'm telling you, brethren, there is something about you the enemy knows that you have to know. You have to know. Christians have called it in many ways. Today we're going to be who use the term identity. Something about you. You know, in Romans chapter 8, Paul's speaking there. He says, creation is waiting for the manifestations of sons of God.
The glory, yes.
Let me ask you this question. Is it that there is going to be a different kind of sons of God that creation is waiting for? Where are those sons of God? Who are those children? Are they going to be coming or are they here now? So what is missing? What is missing? Most of us, you know, we are all children of God. We're sons, right? Whether we're daughters or sons, in the term son, mature ones, we are sons. So what is creation waiting for? Let me ask you this question in a personalized way, right? What is creation waiting for you to become? What is it waiting for? That scripture we just read. Is it waiting for you to become born again? No, you're already born again. Is it waiting for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost? No. Is it waiting for you to go into fasting and prayer, like we mentioned Jesus? Probably not necessarily. What is it waiting for? The day that you will step into your shoes as a son and a daughter of God. Do you know what that entails? It means you coming into a revelation of who you are. You believe it, and then you start seeing results of that identity in your daily life. That is what creation is waiting for. There are sons right now on the earth. You and me, we are the children right now. The creation is not shaken. Do you know why? We still are not yet in the fullness of what God has designed for us. In his image, the power of identity in shaping divine destiny. That's what I want to share with you very briefly this evening. And I pray that, you know, the Lord will open your understanding and just grasp what I'm talking about. And most especially, like I'm saying, understand what I'm saying, but you have a hard time believing it. And that is what I want you to pray, that the Lord would also give you the grace to accept it, because that is where part of the majority of our difficulty is going to lie. Are you going to believe what I tell you? You know, let me just digress a little bit, right? Because this is so powerful. About two years ago, the Lord began teaching me about the faith that produces miracles. Mark 11:23, right? This scripture, I've meditated, thought about it, preached about it. And the Lord began teaching me again a little bit more about this scripture. He says, listen to what he says, and I'll tie it into the identity crisis we all are dealing with. He says, if any one of you will speak unto this mountain and say, be thou removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe. Believe what? Believe that God is powerful? No. Believe that, you know, God is going to do what they say? No. Listen to what it says. But shall believe that whatever they say, they, not Jesus, not God, not an angel, what comes out of their own mouth will come to pass. And the Lord began teaching me the crisis of identity. That verse implies something which many of us would be very uncomfortable to deal with. It means being confident, being sure, being self-assured of yourself. I didn't say God. You know how we talk Christianese, right? When I say something like that, you go, no. You cannot be confident of yourself. Our strength comes from God. Listen. I'm telling you that Christianity, upbringing in Christianity has in some unfortunate ways destroyed our identity, destroyed our sense, self-confidence. It says whatever you say. What that means is that you have to get into the place of believing God that he has put in you what it takes for you to speak to a mountain. Not him, you. It's called self-confidence. How many of you listening to me today have that confidence that when you speak, mountains will listen to you? Do you know what will start coming into our mind? You'll think about the last time you prayed. Okay. Yeah, I've heard that if you don't pray, you cannot speak power. I remember I was in my home nation, Cameroon. The first time I ever saw a miracle in the hospital, I've shared this, I don't know if I've shared it before. You know, the Lord in such a way that on the same day, you know, usually when I meet a Christian from the same church, of course, we have to chat, and then I sometimes pray with them. The same day I was in the hospital consulting, a sister came. She had HIV, and she had a large lump swelling in her neck. She had to go visit Prophet TB Joshua in Nigeria. And we held hands, and we believed. And the Lord, she had an angelic visitation that night. That swelling went down. And the same day, a deacon came into that office. Somebody I work with in church came into the office. I told him, you know, he was dealing with some illness. Equal. I said, oh, wow. Why don't you just pray and believe the Lord for your healing? He says, oh, no, Dr. Oben. You know what? No. You know, I said, what's the problem? He said, I know why the Lord will not heal me. I said, really? He says, I have not paid tithes for about 2 years. You see what has just happened there? Religion in Christianity has damaged has eroded our self-confidence and identity in the form of religion. That the first thing you, for example, a scripture like Mark 11:23, when the Lord says, speak to the mountain, many of you, you'll recognize this. The first thing that will come to your mind is the sin you committed. That makes you unholy. You feel unholy. And immediately that sense of inferiority, uncleanliness, or unworthiness enters your spirit. I'm telling you, that miracle is dead. Identity. The day you will lose sight of yourself, that is the reason why children are the ones that profit the most in the kingdom, because they don't depend on themselves. They cry quality of your identity. In other words, you stand up, Satan says, oh, look at this prostitute. Used to be a prostitute 10 years ago, and you have lost sight of your life 10 years ago. You are conscious of your new life, trace of sin removed. You are conscious of the righteousness of God. Not how many times you have forgotten to pay your tithes, or you have not read the Bible, you have not done this. Before you know it, all of those things damage your sense of identity. You can't trust God anymore. The thing you trust the most is your ability to live the Christian life. Before you know it, your eyes are away from Christ, and they are focused on you. If you are the Son of God, do you remember that? That's what the enemy came. He went straight for the thing that was most important. It wasn't because Jesus wasn't a son. He was. So what was the enemy going after? Jesus' confidence. Confidence in what the Father had told him. There are many of you here, you have heard prophets. Like Jesus, the enemy has come. If you are a prophetess, if you are a prophet, if you are that apostle, if the Lord really said this to you, why is this happening to you? And before you know it, that thought becomes a recurrent thought. It starts making you question who you are. There are Christians who are even questioning whether they are even saved. The Lord will come to you and ask you, who told you to question your salvation? Where did that thought come from? Why is it so important? Because you lose sight and confidence in your identity. You are done. You are done. You want to speak to your disease, a mountain in your life, and the first thing that comes to mind is that I have not paid tithes for 5 years. Do you know what, brother? Do you know what, sister? That miracle is gone. It's gone. Satan has had his hold on you. He has tricked you and made you to lose your miracle. You know why? He has taken your eyes away from Christ and put them on you. Your identity has become you. The Lord. If the Lord can to make some of you at least remove your eyes from your sin, remove your eyes from that weakness. You are not the only person who is weak. You are not the only person who has committed sin. Right? 5 years ago, that sin is still chasing you. Each time the Lord told you that he's going to use you mightily, your mind goes back to that room, to that event in your life. Something tells you inside that cannot be true. Do you know what that something is? That is the same voice of the devil that came to Jesus. May the Lord, I'm sure that's why the Lord brought you this evening, right? I'm sure there's somebody, the Lord brought you purposefully to rebuild your identity and self-confidence in him. Whatever has been shattered will be rebuilt this night. As you take your eyes off of yourself, off of your pastor, your church, your religious, your religious prowess, the things your hands are upon, your eyes are upon. Like my deacon brother said, he was a good tither. When he goes before God, he sees good tithing. I'm not saying whether tithing is right or wrong. It's the same like Bible study. Like, just imagine you go before God and, I am always studying the scripture. Before you know it, your confidence becomes put on the things that you are doing instead of Christ. And you don't know it. You think it's just something playful. Before you know it, your confidence is no longer in Christ. It's on your ability to fast. I had a brother a long time ago. That guy could fast, I'm telling you. And it's a blessing. It's a wonderful thing. But before you know it, his ability to fast becomes his idol. He thinks that God favors him more than everybody else because he could fast. Or, just imagine another one is because they can read the scripture, they can do this, they can, like, let me know, evangelist Linda Cashwright. I remember the day we went for street evangelism in D.C. Remember that so beautifully. What a gracious, wonderful gift the Lord bestowed upon you, right? It was just so obvious. That beautiful spirit of evangelism, it comes to you so naturally, unforced. Just imagine now you take that gift, and then it becomes like your idol. In other words, you before the Lord, that is the thing that you're hanging on. You see, you just imagine that. Oh, I love to study the word and teach the word. Before you know it, that becomes like the idol that is destroying my identity. Before I do something, I start thinking, what are the laws I have broken? I did not read, I did not read the scripture enough. I did not meditate enough. I did not. Not that those things are wrong or good. I hope you get what I'm saying. It's not Bible study. It's not the prayer. It's not the giving. It's not the attending church. No, it is your confidence in those things that matters. That is the thing that destroys identity. If you ever doubt it, Mark 11:23 test. Why is it that something tells you that if you speak to a mountain, it will not happen? What is the reason that makes you feel like you are not worthy enough? You will prefer to have a prophet speak to your mountain. What is it that tells you that you cannot do it? That will tell you an idol in your identity. Is it that you think God hasn't forgiven all of your sin? Or is it that you think you are not praying enough? Or what is it that makes you feel like that is the thing the Lord wants to remove from you this evening? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So I'm speaking to somebody. I had no idea I was going to be talking about this for close to how many minutes now. But I believe that the Lord is speaking to you, just speaking to someone out there. and the Lord probably brought you here. He's going to rebuild you that vision or past experiences have smashed to pieces. The Lord's going to rebuild it, rebuild you to a powerful man or woman of God, your identity. Let me read Genesis chapter 1:26 as we, I'll just break up this passage and get into a devotional a little bit before I round up. This is, we're talking about in his image, God's image, the power of identity in shaping divine destiny. I'll use the case of Adam and Eve. I'll use the case of Jesus up with you and me today before we wrap up this session. Genesis chapter number 1, verse 26. Genesis 1, verse 26. I'll read from here. It says, and God said, that's our Father, and God said, let us make man in our image. That's where it begins. He created us in his image, in our likeness. That is identity right there. So he created us in his image and in his likeness. And then the next part, it says something, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and all of that. So you find identity right here related to purpose, destiny, dominion. That is the blueprint right there in that verse. So when the Lord created us in his image, our nature, our very nature harbored the dominion. It wasn't something we're doing. It wasn't, Adam didn't have to go learn dominion. No, it was in his nature. So God created him in his image, in God's image. And that image in Adam was the focal point of the dominion he exercised over creation. Beautiful picture. Now, let me take you one step further, because we'll talk about Christ and then talk about you. So Adam was the first creation. You know, the Bible calls him the first man. So he was made in the image of God. All human beings are still in the image of God, right? Things have been distorted, but that image is still there. And God gave him dominion. So that dominion was over the earth. The earth. Do you see the definition of the dominion there? It says over the fish, the fowl of the air, over all cattle, and over all the earth. So the first man, Adam, had dominion over the earth. That's the kingdom. So there was an identity, and then there was the purpose, the kingdom. And that kingdom was the kingdom that flourished on the earth. That was God's purpose. And then before we talk about Jesus, let's talk about the fall. What happened? When Jesus came on the earth, Satan said something to him in Matthew 4, which is quite insightful. It says, all these kingdoms have been given to me. He wasn't lying. He lies a lot. But that wasn't a lie, because Jesus didn't really challenge that. So Satan said, the world have been given to me. Who gave it to him? Definitely not the Lord. Give it to him. So there was a kingdom on the earth. There is a kingdom on earth that God gave to man, and man gave it to Satan in sin. And that is the kingdom Satan is ruling on right now. Okay, so just keep that picture in mind. Go over to the second Adam, the last Adam. He is not just a human being like Adam. Remember, we're talking about there is a paradigm here. There is kind of a blueprint here. There is the image, and then there is the dominion. There is the identity, and then there is the purpose. There is the identity, and then there is destiny. Jesus comes on the scene. He's not like the first Adam. He is not just a human being. He is a son. Adam, you know, in some means, you know, Matthew chapter 1, it says Adam was the son of God, but not the same way as Jesus. Adam was the son of God, meaning that God is the one who fathered Adam directly. There was no other human being that God fathered like that. But Jesus wasn't a son like Adam. He was the real son of God. So Adam was like a man in God's image and had the dominion, the kingdom. Jesus came as a son. And upon that identity of sonship, God gave him a purpose. That purpose wasn't like just Adam's dominion of the earth. The son in the house, when he came, God gave him the kingdom, the same kingdom he gave to Adam, but much more. He gave him the kingdom of earth, on earth, in earth. And then on top of that, God did what he has never done before to humanity. He gave human beings not just the kingdom on earth. He gave humans the kingdom of heaven. To the Son, not to the first Adam.
Hallelujah.
But to the second Adam. So the Son, the identity of the Son comes with it, not just the kingdom on earth, but the kingdom of heaven. What is the difference? There is one difference, one major difference. There are other issues, but there is one. If you look at Genesis 1:26, and nowhere in the Old Testament do you find a clue humanity authority over angels, and not even once. Those are not creatures. Satan is not an earth creature. That being is an angel, high-ranking angel. Adam wasn't giving authority over demons or Satan or those spirits. When Jesus came, for the first time in the history of the earth, a human being had authority over angels to command them to do something. For the first time, the kingdom of heaven had come to the earth. That is why when demons saw him, they said, "You are the Son of God. What are you doing here?" In other words, we did not expect you here. We are dealing with the sons of Adam. Who are you? Son of God. You are of a different breed, operating with a different kingdom.
My Lord. Hallelujah.
Glory to God. There is a destiny that the Lord gave to the Son. Remember, Adam did not get some special theological training to exercise his destiny. No, it was built into his identity. It was built in. Jesus, as the Son, he came with the kingdom attached to the identity of the Son. And that kingdom has one major difference. I just told you. It comes with authority over demons. This is so beautiful. You will love this. Oh, glory to God. My time is... Let me tell you something. The scripture says that out of the mouths of babies and sucklings, you have ordained strength or praise. Do you know what it's saying? It says that thou mightest silence the enemy. Do you know what God is saying there? It says that God is using babies to silence. What does it mean? He's taking human beings, lower than angels. I know I've heard some teachers, human beings are created the same. No. Humans cannot compare with angels. They cannot. But in the identity, God has given the Son the authority. Human beings become, you know, higher in rank than angelic entities, Satan and his demons, such that a human being can speak to a demon and say, I command you, get out of here. And the demon obeys. Do you know what that is? It's like a toddler, 2-year-old, speaking to the general of the U.S. Army. Sit here, and the general sits. Stand up, and he stands. That is what God is doing. It is a disgrace to the realm of the spirit, to demons.
Yes.
That you and me, babies, the Bible says God has put in your mouth authority that you can speak to Satan. I know. Go. In the realm of the spirit, that is a disgrace. It is like you, a toddler, speaking to a U.S. general. Jesus has changed spiritual warfare. The only issue is that the children do not know who they are. Satan knows it better. He knows. He knows the realm of the, he knows what authority is better than we do. God has given us the word to learn about authority. But Satan knows about spiritual authority much more than we do. He knows that it is not a matter of how many days you are, you know, how big you are spiritually. It's a matter of understanding your authority. He knows. That is the reason why the day you know who you are, he backs off. Because he knows it is not a matter of power clashes with you. You are just ignorant of something about you that he knows about and is afraid of.
Yeah.
Jesus showed up. And with the identity of the Son came the kingdom, not just of earth, the kingdom of heaven that rules over heaven and earth. And as if that is not enough. Of course, what does the idea of Son brings to mind? Family. Jesus didn't just, he came for something even bigger than the kingdom. Is so wonderful, but there is something bigger than God's, than the kingdom, right? I mean, the best way to explain it to you is to just imagine God is our Father. How many times did you hear that Jesus called God my wrong? Does any verse come to mind that, you know, maybe indirectly approaching God and telling him my king? Do you know how you often called him? My Father. My Father. What is in that name, Father? Just imagine God comes and then he's in a room with his children. They are in a family gathering. They are on the table and all of that. What do you think he cherishes most? The title of a king or the title of father when he's home with his kids? Oh, dear
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Hallelujah. Abba.
What do you think he cherishes most? Father. Father! Adam wasn't given that privilege and that destiny. Jesus came. Like I've just told you, that kingdom is already a big deal. But there is something bigger than that kingdom. It is that he brought God's home, God's family on the earth. So the Son is tasked with a mandate to bring God's home, God's family, his children, to raise up a family for God on the earth. You see the purposes attached to the Son identity? First, the kingdom, which if we ended there, that in itself is mind-blowing. And then added to the kingdom, there is family. Family. Abba Father is coming to dwell on the earth in his children. Do you know what Jesus is doing? He's building God's house. You and me. You know what we constitute? The house of the Father, for him to come dwell on the earth.
Yes.
And when that house is completed, like we find it in Exodus, the glory, the Shekinah glory of God will fill the earth when the last Christian believes and the house works of God is completed. What a day that will be.
Hallelujah.
The events we are seeing right now, they are telling us that time is really close.
Yes.
Identity. Identity. So let me round up with you and me. What is your identity in Christ? Listen to me. You are not just a Christian, right? That would be correct. You are not just a believer. That is correct. What is the greatest identity of the believer? You are a child, God. You are a son. Like I said, son, meaning either sister or brother. Son means you are God's offspring. That is what creation is waiting for, because there is a destiny attached to your identity of a son. It is to bring the kingdom of heaven on the earth and to bring Abba home on the earth. Establish God's family. That is the destiny that once the church comes to the fullness of it, it is going to be glory on the earth. Creation is waiting for the manifestations of the sons of God. Just a few weeks ago, the Lord began speaking to me about something just mind-blowing. The revelation is not even full yet in my head. The church that is rising now is not the church that the Roman Christians persecuted, and they were just babies and under persecution. Listen to me. The church that God is building now, it is the church that when persecution would arise, fire will come out of their mouth and consume the enemy. I'm telling you, it is going to be a church that breaks the enemy to pieces, not a church that bows down to any threat.
Yes.
Before Jesus
comes,
there is going to be a revelation of an aspect of the church the world has not seen. I'm telling you, hear this from the Spirit of the Lord. Creation is waiting for not Christians that will bow down to disease and fear and demonic oppressions and anxiety and depression and, you know, all kinds of threats. We are like babies being tossed around by the issues of life. There is a church that God is building. Before he comes, fire will come out of their mouth and come. I'm telling you, believers are slowly coming into the fullness of revelation of who they are.
Hallelujah.
And that is the reason of the revelation. That's why you see God raising ministers that are teaching the word, because that needs of effort. Christians need to be taught, not taught flowery, empty teachings and messages. You unadulterated word of God. My heart breaks when I discover that many Christians are not established. Not at all. Unfortunately, ministry in many circles is about building the ministry, building the
Average
Christian is not established. But that is not the church Christ is building. You, he's telling you today, there is a purpose attached to your identity as a child of God. That purpose, the Lord has commanded you to establish his kingdom in your world. Do you know what that means? It's not just to come and say, the kingdom of God is here. No, that kingdom means you shall rule over fear. Rule over depression, rule over poverty, rule over demons, rule over Satan. Let the will of God in heaven be established in your finances. That's what that means. In your world, in your that darkness in your world, in your environment, wherever you are, the sin, the disease, the demonic oppression, suicide, and all of those things, we are here for a purpose. The darkness that is over the earth is increasing and getting worse every day. But you have a solution to darkness. When there is suicide in your family, in your home, you are the light to put an end to it. Do you know what that is? The kingdom.
Hallelujah.
The kingdom.
Yeah.
There is a purpose attached to your identity, the kingdom of heaven. Bring it into your world. Bring it into your world. Bring it in the streets of your city. Bring it into drug addiction homes. Bring it into your home, families, children getting wayward, off, getting lost in the decadence of, you know, the moral decadence that's going on. The Lord is saying, there is a purpose attached to your identity. He's saying, daughter, you are my child. You are my son. You are my child. There is a purpose attached to your calling. He's saying, son, there is a purpose attached to your calling. Your purpose is to bring the kingdom of heaven to earth. Your purpose is to bring my home. Let your home be a reflection of how I live in heaven. I want to be with my kids. I want to live with my kids on earth. I want you to make your home my home. I want you to make your neighborhood my neighborhood. I want to dwell in your city. I want to dwell, you know, the enemy has hijacked entertainment, for example. The Lord is telling us that he wants to take over. Take over. Take over. Bringing the kingdom because of the identity we carry. Oh, praise the name. There is such a presence of the Lord as I'm talking to you.
Hallelujah.
Right now.
Hallelujah.
Telling you, such
Hallelujah.
A presence of the Lord. When I started, I was so tired. So tired. Just I was praying. Actually, in my heart, I said, Lord, give me strength. I'm finishing with, there is such an anointing in my body.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
And I pray that the Lord has spoken to somebody. Going to be a of lives and destiny, a reshaping of the course of your life. Whatever has marred God's identity in your mind, whatever voice you have been hearing about who you are, about the destiny, the calling, the ministry that God has called you, that voice that is telling you it shall not be, it gives you all the reasons.
Mm-hmm.
The Lord is asking you, who told you? Mm-hmm. Who is speaking to you? Daughter, who is speaking to you? Who
uh-huh.
is speaking to you? You've been listening to that voice 10 years. The Lord says, not your listening to my voice. And you are hearing his voice to you right now. Right there.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Right now. Father, we give you praise for this evening. Thank you for the sweet of your presence. Indeed, Lord, your word is life. Your word is life. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Ghost. Lord, how we need you, Lord. There is so much we need to know. Lord, such a long way for us to go, but you have promised, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Lord, build your church. That one that has listened to me this evening, God, that is shattered maybe by religion or their Christian environment or maybe by the errors of Christians and even ministers. We all make mistakes and will cause many people to be offended in different ways. Lord, mercy. I just pray, bring healing to our hearts. Restore identity. Restore identity again. Restore confidence. Restore us. Whatever has damaged our self-image, Lord, take it away. Take it away. That one that doesn't believe that, you even hear them when they pray. They would rather call their pastor to pray. Lord, I pray, bring healing to that heart. Bring restoration. Whatever is damaging their sense of identity, Lord, take it away. Take it away.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
And let the name of the Lord be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name. The Lord bless you. Thank you so much, Linda. I got to hop off. But the Lord bless you.
Thanks, Patrick. God bless you. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you this evening on your ministry on Facebook. Give us your Facebook address.
Patrick Obed Ministries. Let's see. If you just type Patrick Obed Ministries, it's going to pop up. I'm trying to see how that goes again. Yeah, P. Obed Ministries.
Can you tell us real quick how to get your devotion by email? Devotionals?
Yeah, you can. Yeah, you can visit our website at patrickoben.com, patrickoben.com. There is, you find a couple of books there you can download for free, and then there is an email sign-up sheet. You can just search newsletters, and then you'll find a news email sign-up sheet there. Or if you have any trouble, you can I'll probably send that also to Evangelist Linder to share.
Yeah. Thanks, Patrick. I love you, man. Give my love to your wife and your girls. Thank you, Patrick. God bless you as well.
Amen. Yeah, bye.
Praise God. I thank you for joining us. I also want to tell you that you can go to Amazon and put Patrick's name in. He has a lot of books on Amazon. You can download some of them for free on Kindle. And just like you said, Patrick has a devotional that you can go to the information that he mentioned and apply to get his devotionals every day on your email. And this topic came up in his image, the power of identity in shaping divine destiny. And I saw that and I read the devotional and I said, oh, I need you to minister this on the podcast. I know that people have really tried to come up against my name, my family name. They've tried to say I'll never make it because of my past. And they don't know anything about my past. All they know is what the liars say and what people say that are used by the devil. And when someone makes it a point to tell someone else, oh, she'll never make it because of her past or her character. And when I gave my life to Christ, his character became part of my life. And I made up my mind to read the Bible from cover to cover, from Genesis to Revelation. And God didn't have any problem with my character before I got saved because his hand was on my life at that time. And he hasn't had any problem with my character since I've been saved. So there's always a naysayer, somebody behind your back that at one time might have been your pastor, another time might have been your friend, another time might have been a family member. But believe me, the naysayers are out there, and they don't have any power with God. They might have some influence with man, but they don't have any power with God. And I give God all the glory, honor, and praise for Renee calling in tonight and Candace and Joni. I just love Patrick. I met him on the steps of the library. I had just moved here, and I was using the library internet, and I had my Bible in my hand. I didn't know him, and I was just standing there, and he looked at me and started talking because he saw my Bible in my hand, and it ended up that we went to the same church, but he was not a member, and I was. So I talked him into becoming a member, and we after he took his new membership class, we took a class together, pastoral care class. And out of that class, we started doing home visits to seniors that were shut in together. Then we joined the teams that delivered Christmas dinners and Thanksgiving dinners to the shut-in. And Patrick and I just became close, and he's a lot younger than me, and he was a youth pastor in Cameroon, and he came here. And so he did everything he needed to do to become a doctor in real life, not with some doctorate for doing nothing, but he is truly a doctor and head of a department at a hospital where he lives in Iowa. also he's studying to be a cardiologist. So he's not just some fly-by-night preacher. He has a beautiful wife and three beautiful daughters. And I give God all the praise for him tonight and glory. God was glorified tonight in his ministry. And it's true, God wants to build his kingdom, not your ministry. He wants to build his kingdom. That's how he gets glory. He doesn't get glory for 5,000 people being in your church and they come in dry and they leave dry. They never read the Bible during the week. They might not tithe. They might give offering. But these are the crucial, initial beginnings that we must begin to do. We must become aware of the fruit of the Spirit and how the fruit of the Spirit can be built up in us. And while you're building that up and letting the Holy Spirit build that up in you, and you become a tither, and a true tither tithes when it hurts, when you got financial problems. That's when a true tither tithes and gives offering, even if it's just a dollar. So I praise God tonight. And, you know, maybe some of you don't even know what tithing is, but it's 10% of your income. And that 10% comes off the top, not the middle after you pay your bills or the bottom. It comes off the top. And I make sure I pay my tithes on the check that comes in the day after. I look on my job account. And I see what my check is before taxes. I pay my tithes on that before it's even in my direct deposit at midnight. I pay my tithes and offering to make sure that God gets that first. Because that, you know, Jesus was the first fruit. And the tithe is the first fruit. So I give God all the glory, honor, and praise. I thank God that through Jesus we can run through troops and leap over walls. We endure hardship like good soldiers. God knows what we're going through, and he will bring us through it in spite of whoever's doing whatever they're doing or trying to do to destroy you, to bring you down, to come against your character, your name. God told Abraham he would make his name great, that he would make his name great. Abraham did nothing to try to do to make his name great, nothing. God did it. He came out of a pagan nation. They had all kinds of statues and stuff. But he was a man that knew God's voice the first time God spoke to him. And that was so important to me when I started reading about in the Old Testament. They didn't have the Bible. They only had the voice of God. The prophets didn't have the Bible. They were holy men and women of God. Holy. Holy. Who's holy anymore in the church? You're not holy because you're saved. You're holy because you give your body, your life, your mind, your heart, your soul to Christ. He makes it holy. When you desire holiness, then holiness will be established in your life, in your walk with God, in your mindset, in your thought process. There'll be shows on TV that you won't watch. Not that you can't watch because you have a choice, but that you just won't watch The Bible says, holiness without, no man will see the Lord. It doesn't come easy to maintain holiness. When you're willing to stoop as low as you could possibly stoop, to watch anything on the internet, to watch porno, to use technology that's out right now any way you want to use it, where you have liberties. See, when you go on a porno website, there's people on there that are intentionally and deliberately, this is their behavior. This is their livelihood. This is what they want to do. But when you are a woman of God, a man of God, and you've given your life to Christ, and technology is used to watch you in the privacy of your home to do whatever they want to do using the technology, that's when you've made the choice to do it. To see someone that has lived, that is living holy, consecrated their life, their mind, their body to the Lord. And they're not doing anything in their home to seduce anybody. I have a targeted individual on my call tonight. I opened her line when I first got on because I didn't recognize the number. And I asked the caller for her name, and she told me. And I asked her, where does she get the number? And my ministry and phone number is on the targeted individual website for the world, for this nation and nations all over the world that go to that website and are interested in trying to find help. Because they're targeted through technology that enables the person using the technology to see you in your home, in your workplace, in your shower, in your bed, changing your clothes, cooking your breakfast, sitting on this phone right now talking. They can record you 24/7. So we know that we're in the end times, but praise God we're on this side of the technology and not on the other side. Praise God that God's hand is on our life. And this is persecution for most of us that have Christ in our lives. And those that are on this line, they know what I've been going through. They know every little bit about my life concerning being targeted. And this targeting is global. And it does not care about your age, your sex, your nationality. It doesn't care. The people using it don't care. Every country I've been in, and I've been in a lot of countries, there's targeted individuals. They know me when I've gotten there. They knew it when I bought my airline ticket. That's how the technology works. And I remember in early 2000s when the Lord gave me dreams about the technology. And he said, this is the technology that the Antichrist will use when he is revealed. And he will use it in every home in the earth. But I never thought it would be used on me. I just thought God was telling me, because he wanted me to share that with others, that this technology is going to be used in the earth. And I know that it's being used on multiple sold out remnant believers, true believers in Christ, to destroy our character, to destroy our integrity, to destroy our lives. But that's not going to happen Because the blood of Jesus still works. Can I get an amen? The blood of Jesus still works. There's more power in the blood of Jesus that covers my life and covers your life, your family, and my family than any Antichrist spirit could cover. That's why we got to read the word. We got to spend time with God. We got to know who we are in Christ. That's why I wanted this message on here tonight. Because I don't care about influencing people. The power of influencing people. I care about helping you in this situation. I stand in the gap for targeted individuals across this earth in my prayer time, that the Lord will divinely protect us, especially the women and the men of God. Men get it worse because they can't fight back. We can't do anything about the technology that people are using to surveillance us. It helps them feel like they're in control of something. I walk in my job and there's people on my job in the school district that say things in my hearing that they heard me in my prayer time, or they heard me say to you on the phone or to my friends. That makes them feel like some kind of person that, you know, it must pump up whatever they need to pump up. Because it makes them feel like they're intimidating somebody. Them intimidating days have been over for me many years ago. Because I saw where Jesus called the church leaders cowards. And that's what I've been calling them that are using this technology to invade the privacy of believers. How does it help you? And how does it help them? It doesn't. But I can say that we are on the safe side and the Lord is on our side. Don't ever think for a minute that you want to know how this technology works. You can read about it and know. It's not worth it. It's not worth you spending one moment on it to decrease your anointing, decrease your power with God, grieve the Holy Spirit, the Ruach HaKodesh, how grieved he is that this technology is being used on his children before the Antichrist is revealed. But that's okay, because he is for us and against that. He loves the people, but he hates the sin. And they don't think it's sin. The unbeliever don't care, but the believer doesn't think it's sin. Anything that you can't stand up in your congregation and tell them that you're doing is sin. So I thank God that I can encourage somebody tonight. I can. I'm not a coward. God had an angel appear to me in 2012. Holding up a banner that said courage. And I have to remind myself sometimes that God did that for me. Because that was the year and the beginning when church, people in church that say they're saved began to have knowledge of the technology and began using it. God showed me an elder in my old church that was using it to watch me naked, a married man, an elder, sitting on a computer in his office in the church, where tithes, holy money, was being paid for the office he was sitting in and the computer he was using. Look, I know too much. That's why the devil's mad. I know all that God wants me to know up to this moment, this day, this part of my life, and I want to know more. I want to know more about Jesus. I didn't ask him to show me about no technology. He just did. I didn't ask him to tell me what church leaders are doing and who they are, their names, and how they're doing it, but he just did. Don't beat up on me because I know. Talk to him about it. And I've been saying exactly what Patrick said tonight about idols and idolatry. And I believe for a lot of people in the church using this technology, it has become an idol for them. This is a big reality show for them to look into your home and have that access to you that you didn't give them permission to do. Believe me, I know what it's like every day. And I still give him glory. And I still honor him. He could take any of us right out of this. Boom, bam, stop it. He could do that. Mm-hmm. But God is glorified in our lives when we press, persevere. When he can look upon us and recognize my voice when I say, Abba, that means Father in Hebrew, Abba, he'll say, oh, that's Linda's voice. Let me talk to her because she knows my voice. And I'm going to tell you right now, when you consume yourself in the Word of God and you get with him and you say, Lord, I want to know your voice better than I know it now. I want to hear your voice again and again. Talk to me. When you spend that quality time crying out to God, just cry out to him. He'll show you who the snakes are. He'll show you who the ain'ts are. And he'll show you who the saints are. You don't even have to ask him. He wants you to know. That's the kind of discernment the apostles had when they walked with Jesus. That's why I kind of come in agreement somewhat with my Philly pastor, Pastor Pinnock, because he doesn't believe that there are apostles in the earth today, even though they're included in the fivefold ministry, because none of them lived like the apostles that Jesus chose. I mean, who's living a sacrificial life anymore? Who's laying their life down for sheep? Who can make it through the year without lying from the pulpit or lying in your face or living a lie? When you live a lie or lie in the face of sheep and you're the pastor, the bishop, then your loins aren't girded with truth. So you can be attacked anyway, anywhere, because you're not wearing the full armor of God. God would prefer you tell the truth, that your loins would be girded with truth. You can tell the truth about dirt, gossip. You think that's truth. When that comes through your hands or through your office or wherever, however it comes through, maybe it comes up on a fax machine. Maybe it comes on your voicemail. There's people that have me under surveillance that every time I use my phone, they're alerted. Every time I get up out of my bed, they're alerted. Every time I'm in the bathroom, they're alerted. Who ever thought that somebody in the church would become an oppressor? Some people don't need a demon to oppress them. People that don't like you oppress them. Like Penina oppressed Hannah. The Bible didn't say that Penina had a demon. She wanted to oppress Hannah. She enjoyed to oppressing Hannah. That was her daily agenda. They both lived in the house. But Hannah had a relationship with God, and Penina didn't. She was pumping out all the babies, and Hannah was barren. But Hannah found a place in God, even though she was oppressed by her adversary. See, let me tell you something about oppressing a child of God. You need to read the whole Bible, especially the Old Testament, and God will reveal to you how he comes up against, fights, battles, warfares against the oppressors of his people. And he destroys them. He destroyed the Midianites that oppressed Israel for 7 years. He raised up Gideon to defeat that nation, group of people, the Midianites. And God narrowed his army down to 300 just so God could show off his might and power. So you're not by yourself. You are in the midst of a mighty God. Keep your house clean, your mind clean, your TV clean, your bedroom clean. Keep your heart pure and your hands clean. Every time I have asked God in prayer, show me my heart. I know the hearts of the people that mistreat me. I know the hearts of the people that gossip about me and pass it around in the church. Your word tells me how their hearts are. Show me my heart. And within 2 or 3 nights after that, God will give me a dream and show me my heart. My purpose is show me if there's any wickedness in my heart that I will get it out. And I maintain before the Lord a pure heart that no matter what he tells me to say and who don't like it, my heart is still pure. No matter what he tells me to do and who tries to stop it, my heart is still pure. That's who's in my circle. We don't gossip. We share what God tells us. Whoever don't like it, not my problem. I'm just the messenger. There's more dreams that God has given me that I didn't consult him about, that he just wanted me to know. And maybe years down the line, I found out why he told me that or showed me that in a dream. I'm a dreamer. And I ask God to bless you tonight. I ask God to try to get you to remember that it's important to walk with the Lord. He sticks closer than a brother. He'll never betray you. He'll never take advantage of you. He'll never speak unkind about you. He calls you his child, his saint. He'll never deceive you. But if you're doing things that you deceive yourself, that's not his problem. That's your problem. We don't want those problems in our lives. We don't want them in our circle. We want pure hearts and clean hands. I've been taking communion every day, and it's something that has just really blessed me, and it honors God. It keeps in your mind and your heart the remembrance of him and what he did for you. So I just want to thank you again for holding on, for allowing Patrick to share with you tonight. I know that was an encouraging word. It certainly was for me. It just confirmed a lot for me. Those kind of words helped me unwind. And also, I didn't know that I was going to be sharing anything on the podcast tonight. But it is important for us to know who we are in Christ. If I didn't know who I was in Christ, I would let all these mealy-mouthed, naysaying preachers, unsaved, the unbelievers in the world, the people that think they're saved, acting unsaved, that say they're saved, acting unsaved. Their behavior demonstrates a stumbling block to the unbeliever. Do you know how many unbelievers are using this technology that are watching the believers use the technology on other believers and unsaved people? Who knows? They can watch me all they want to. They've gotten the gospel of Jesus Christ a million times from my home, from my mouth, from my TV, from what I watch on YouTube, from what I say on my podcast. This is a platform God gave me. Nobody tells me what not to say on here. It's clean. It's truthful. It's comforting. So I bless God for you tonight. I thank God for those that are listening, the gang stalkers. They always listening. I don't know half of them that are listening. But I do know that there's a multitude of believers that are being affected by this. I listen to a support group some Saturdays that my friend Julia has, a Bible study, and many, many, many men and women come on her Bible study every week, twice a week, and they're all targeted individuals. I hear the testimony of men that breaks my heart. I hear the testimony of women that, are barricading their doors at night to keep their landlords from using a key to come in and lace their food. And the men know how they're stalked as soon as they walk out the door, to be intimidated and harassed. So you know that the enemy could see the glory of the Lord on you. I'm going to tell you that right now. God showed me a couple nights after I asked him, one of the many times that I've asked him, to show me my heart. And he showed me the glory of the Lord on me. Just what Patrick was saying in this dream. That was just a little part of the dream. I won't go into the rest. I want to know how God sees me. And I encourage you in your prayer time to ask him. You need to know. You need to know. If there's any little thing that doesn't please God, he'll show you in such a loving, kind way so you can repent and get rid of it. I announced it. I bullhorn it. I preach it. I've had my own preaching in my own home because I know there's multiple people listening. about stop using the technology, because I do know that it's not glorifying God and that he has never told a believer to use it. Easier for them to use the technology to see what you're doing than to talk to God and let God tell them what you're doing. Because there is a scripture that says to be a busybody is sin. So they don't take that to heart like it's nothing. But it's something in the throne room of God. Hallelujah. And my caller that called in tonight and told me that she's a TI, and I forgot that I ever gave the targeted individual organization all my information, or maybe somebody else gave it to them. And that's fine, because I believe this young lady needs to be encouraged tonight. So I'm going to pray, and then I'm going to close. Father, I thank you for them. I ask God that you would cover us in the blood of Jesus. Your precious blood, Lord God, will never lose its power. I apply and I plead the blood of Jesus over the TI that's on the line and my friends that are on the line, over Patrick and his household, over myself and my family right now, in the name of Jesus. God, I thank you for the holy angels that are encamped around us. I thank you, Lord, for this podcast. I thank you for truth on the inside. I thank you for my friends that are supportive of this ministry, that they would dial in and listen or stream in and listen. And God, I thank you. This is the best part of my day today. I give you praise, honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And I'm going to leave you with this. Only what you do for Christ will last. What you do for your pastor, that's going to burn up in the fire. What you do for other people, it's going to burn up in the fire. What you do for the president is going to burn up in the fire. Ain't no big deal. He's the worst sinner in the earth and probably the biggest. All of them got Antichrist spirits, these politicians, and they're all ushering in the unrevealed Antichrist himself that's sitting back laughing at our government, laughing at our churches, laughing at people that are stumbling blocks to sinners. The Bible tells us for sure not to go that way. Why would I want to make a sinner stumble? Why wouldn't I want to do everything I could for a sinner to come to Christ? That's my MO. That's my method of operation. That's my life, just like Patrick said. We went storming the ground around D.C., around the White House, the Capitol, and all over the place, leading souls to Christ. And that was the first time he had ever done anything like that, at least in this nation. So only what you do for Christ will last. That's what God gives God glory. Do something for him today. Bless somebody in the name of Jesus. Let the anointing of God rest upon you tonight with sweet sleep. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining us. Look for the next podcast. Not next Thursday, but the Thursday after that will be on. The last Thursday in February, I'm having on Evangelist Gina. She has a powerful ministry called Queen Esther's Ministry. And she made the hats and the T-shirts for the Gatekeepers Ministry International that when we went to Israel, she made all the hats beautiful and the T-shirts with Gatekeeper's name on it for us. I'm having her on again the last Thursday in February. So see if you can join us. God bless you and good night.